Some musicians have been getting small checks in the mail, payments they've never received before. Until recently, when a song played on a conventional radio station, royalty payments went to the authors and publishers. But unless they wrote something, the performers received nothing. That's changing when music plays on satellite, digital cable, or the internet. Musicians receive money as long as they register with an organization called Sound Exchange. The trouble is that many musicians have no idea that organization exists. NPR's Netta Ulaby has the last part of our series following money and music on the internet.
Most of the people who work at Sound Exchange are musicians themselves. Nita Raghuwansi is a Sound Exchange lawyer by day. At night,
I'm the lead singer of an 8-piece rock and roll band in D.C. called The Oxymorons.
And here is Sound Exchange president John Simpson.
All this time that I've been spending wrong, I know I should be sitting writing you a song, but I will.
Is this you?
Raghuwansi is visibly shocked to hear her boss's only solo recording from 30 years ago. Simpson drifted from performing into music management, then law school. Now, through Sound Exchange, he hears from musicians who were once his heroes.
Recently, I got a call from the leader of a band called The Count Five. They had a big hit in, I think it was 1966 or 67, called Psychotic Reaction.
I feel depressed, I feel so bad.
Simpson used to play that song himself, so he was thrilled to inform singer Ken Elner of his royalties from digital broadcasts of the Count Five's hit. Simpson says the singer had no idea there was an organization paying royalties to performers.
A lot of people in the United States know about ASCAP and BMI, CSAC, the three organizations that collect for songwriters who have had these rights since the beginning of time.
Or at least since the 1909 Copyright Act. That entitled songwriters to royalties when their music played in public, on the radio, in clubs, or even over the telephone, on hold. Performers got squat. It helped to be a musician and a songwriter.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away.
So for example, you know, if you take Yesterday by Lennon and McCartney, for ASCAP, BMI, or CSAC, it doesn't matter who's recording Yesterday. It's the same songwriters. It's the same music publisher. They pay the same people on every single version.
That would be John Lennon's heirs, Paul McCartney, and their music publisher. For Sound Exchange, it's completely different.
Our interest is in who recorded the version.
So when a version of Yesterday by, say, En Vogue plays on an internet webcast, Lennon and McCartney's music publisher handles their payment, and Sound Exchange divides its royalty 50-50 between the musicians and their label.
It also matters to us which version of that group recorded it, if in fact there's been more than one recording.
So if En Vogue recorded Yesterday twice, before and after singer Don Robinson left the group, that would affect royalty distribution. Confusing? Sound Exchange president John Simpson says the En Vogue example isn't even that bad.
You look at a group like Fleetwood Mac. Over 30 years, there have been a lot of different Fleetwood Macs.
I got a black magic woman. I got a black magic woman. Yes, I got a black magic woman. Got me so blind I can't see. That she's a black magic woman and she's trying to make a devil out of me.
Musicians became eligible to collect performance royalties in 1995, when Congress passed legislation covering digital transmissions. But there was no central organization to collect and distribute the money to artists. The Recording Industry Association of America got the job, but it took 5 years to form Sound Exchange. So far, the now independent organization has collected royalties due to thousands of artists. But now it's under pressure to find thousands more, because performers lose rights to royalties unclaimed after 3 years. Sound Exchange has employees who combine the skills of music historian and detective. They begin with the last available phone number.
Hi, can I speak to the representative of Poison? Do you guys manage Poison anymore?
That's Sound Exchange account manager Maria LaTanya, looking for the 1980s hair band Poison.
They weren't there.
LaTanya says it's hardest to track down those off the charts and off the map. John Simpson.
Because you realize there are so many people out there who no longer have managers, they no longer have lawyers. They've been removed from the active part of the recording industry. They may still be playing in clubs. They may still be touring, as many legacy artists have to do. They just don't have a connection to understand that these new rights exist and that we have revenues for them.
Ultimately, what seems to be most successful is word of mouth. Musicians hear about Sound Exchange from other musicians.
I was at Liza Minnelli's wedding, and a woman approaches me and says, "Do you think you're getting all your royalties directly to you? Do you think you're fully up to date on your royalty accounts?"
That's singer Phoebe Snow. She says a bunch of singers from the 60s and 70s heard about Sound Exchange at Minnelli's wedding. For years, Snow says, she would hear herself singing a minor hit from the late 1980s whenever she went to the drugstore.
If I can just get through the night,
I would give it all up tomorrow. That. And I didn't know you could get a royalty for that.
Snow called. She found an anomaly in the music business. Sound Exchange tracked her royalties from the minute she registered.
And I did start getting statements and little tiny checks from them. But it's a start.
Sound Exchange employees say they hope Liza Minnelli gets married again, soon, so more musicians will sign up. Netta Ulibi, NPR News, Washington.